Jonathan Kraft, president of the New England Patriots, joins us. And Jonathan, one of the things that you have is when you're a very good football organization and you've had the success that the Patriots have had, you got to let good players go. I mean, nothing lasts forever. And we saw one of the great ones leave the Patriot organization in Logan Mankins. And your thought on Logan and also the deal that transpired?
Well, Logan is somebody that I think everybody in the building holds in the highest regard, both as a football player and as a man. Clearly, after John Hanna, he's the best guard to ever play for the New England Patriots, and I would assume he'll be wearing a red jacket someday and being inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. But he brought a work ethic and a no-nonsense approach to the game. The day he stepped into our place, he was all about business and all about leading through his actions. And he was extremely physical and tough on the field, and the presence that gave in the locker room to his fellow offensive linemen, I think it clearly set the tone. And he's somebody that we all hold in the highest regard as well. He and his wife, Kara, and they have lovely kids. And unfortunately, it's part of the game, but we believe his legacy will be that of one of the greatest guards to ever play for the Patriots and somebody we were proud to have on the football team.
Jonathan, straight out, was Logan Mankins traded because of some sort of budgetary concern or internal budget that you have in your office or that your dad has in his office that is different from the salary cap and the way the NFL is structured?
Yeah, there's nothing to that. There's a budget that every team has that's set each year by what the salary cap is, and then each team might have cash budgets that go along with it. I can tell you that last year, the salary cap in the NFL for the most recent year was like $123 million, and we were just under $130 million in cash, so we were well over the salary cap. I think the people who make that argument, if we weren't maximizing our cap space each year, and unlike a lot of teams who let cap space die in a current year if they don't use it and don't roll it over, I could see that being a valid argument. But we always roll over our cap space when, under the new collective bargaining agreement, there was an opportunity for every club in the league to pick up, I forget what the number was, but call it an extra $3-3.5 million of cap space. Maybe it was $4 million. We took advantage of the whole amount. I think there were only 18 or 20 teams that actually did. So I don't think that's a valid argument. If you want to say that Bill and the football operation have our confidence because they place a value on certain positions and players and situations so that you never end up being fully exposed to something where you could take a big financial hit, yes, we try to be smart like that. But to say that we don't use all of the resources that are available to us just isn't accurate. If you go and look at, as I said, maximization of cap space across the league or cash spending last year, I don't think you can point to anything. And with Logan, the cap hit will be about $4 million. I think the unamortized portion of his signing bonus for this year and next year and the year after, something like that. But I think it's safe to assume that the $6-7 million of cap space we pick up will be fully spent, and we believe it'll be spent, you know, strategically and in a way that makes our football team a stronger, deeper football team than we would be if we didn't spend it, which is what I think your question implies that I guess some people are saying.
All right, well, to simplify it, and Gresh, chime in here, because Andy made some points that you might have heard earlier about how you know, Solder, his option got picked up, and, you know, you got to put money towards him.
One
and
go low, one go high. Balance it out.
But, I mean, basically, the Crafts never take the money away from the football operation and put it in their pocket.
Look,
because that's what people say. Now, Cincinnati, and you didn't say this, but I will, Cincinnati will do that. But you know what I mean? That's the perception, Jonathan, which is wrong.
Gary, there are teams in the league who choose to waste cap space, to not roll it over. That's the real question. It's not about cash. Cash and cap space go hand in hand. And I think if there is a team that either isn't spending to the cap in a given year or taking advantage of rolling that space over, I think that's a valid argument. But over the last 2 years, forgetting for players for a minute, I think we've spent approximately $30 million unrelated to players just to improve the physical space that our football team works in every day to try to give us every opportunity and every advantage to win. And I think the space that we improved on was already in the top third of the league. So it's important to us that when there are dollars that can be spent to strategically help your football team and give you every opportunity to win, we're going to try to do that. But what we're not going to do, if we can avoid it, is make bad decisions or decisions that are emotional, that we perceive to be emotional, that could end up costing significant amounts of money. And I know some of the people that must make those arguments think there are players out there that it'd be worth going and throwing a whole lot of money at and taking a risk on. And maybe it would pay off, maybe it wouldn't. But I think as Bill, who has a pretty good track record in terms of running a football operation, it's always a risk-reward situation, and we're trying to balance that. But we absolutely try to maximize our cap space every year.
Well, you know, you look at the history. You go back to when Lawyer was dealt, you won the Super Bowl. Richard Seymour went away. And Seymour, you got the pick that led to Mayo, right? Memory serves me correct?
Was it Mayo or Solder? I think it was Solder.
Solder, okay.
Solder.
And then, oh, the Mayo pick, Mayo, San Francisco.
Mayo came.
San Francisco.
Yes.
Pick. You know, and then I even throw a Vrabel out there, you know, and people, you know, will say that Vrabel was not a Seymour, or, but Vrabel was still a hell of a player. I mean, and then you traded him to Kansas City. So to your point about your coach, you know, the Patriot organization has a very good track record of going into a transition. I don't want to say dumping a player. Going into a transition mode at a certain position, this organization has a very good track record of doing it at the right time. Because in my opinion, Logan, who, you know, Gresh thinks is going to go to Canton, he's definitely going to go into the Patriot Hall of Fame. I don't think Logan was the player he once was. And this team needed a tight end. And I think people keep forgetting about that, is that the Patriots needed another tight end besides Gronkowski, and this kid Wright caught 50 balls last year. Again, with two quarterbacks, they can't even be in the same stadium as Brady. And I think people forget that.
Yeah. I think that all of that gets – Logan has been an exceptionally good football player, and I'm sure I don't evaluate talent, but I believe that Logan – just through his sheer passion for the game and his mental attitude, will be a very productive player for a long time to come. And I agree with Gresh; he should end up in Canton. He is that good of a football player. But at some point in time in every football player's life, you look at what the options are around that player. And, you know, you brought up Richard Seymour. Look, Richard Seymour, when he left here, was still a very, very good football player. Given the point in time at which he left, given the dollars that he was going to command, and given what we thought we could do with the compensation, we ended up getting a Nate Solder, who is obviously also a very good young player. Those first years under a rookie contract are literally a fraction. In his case, it was probably less than 5% of what Seymour's cap charge would have been. And you look at what you can do with that literally $10 million plus a year of cap space difference between a Nate Solder and a Richard Seymour. Not saying that Nate Solder was a better player or not. They're both great players. But you look at the asset that you get with that $10, $12 million a year of extra space to play with. And Bill, I think, runs through a calculation with the help of Nick and the rest of the football staff, and he'll talk to Robert and he'll talk to me occasionally, and we'll all brainstorm about those things. But ultimately, I think he makes very good decisions, and it's hard for people to question them. And I'll come back again. I think the argument that Gresh made at the start is a valid argument. If you're not using all your cap space and rolling over what's unused each year, and there are plenty of examples in the league where that happens, we do it. So I think it's a hard argument to make, but that's the beauty of we love the fact that people are so passionate about it.
Look, I see it as big picture in that Logan goes, money's going to be shifted. If it gets reallocated to different people, that is a part of a justification for, in my mind, a trade like this. That is what I am expecting. But I want to ask you, do you consider yourselves all in, regardless of if there's money to roll over next year, if there's a little bit of cap space that's unused? People look at it and say, my God, if you're not spending every last dollar, then you jerks, all you're doing is putting it in your pocket. Do you consider yourselves all in?
I think we're all in every year. I think most teams in the league, if you don't consider yourself all in, it's a very hard business to be in. Maybe people's definition of what all in means is different, but for us, what all in means is constantly looking at your personnel situation, all 53 roster spots, the 10 spots on the practice squad, how much cap space you have, how many guys are in the first, second, third year of their deals, who's about to come up in free agency, and all in to us as an organization means managing that entire picture to maximize your competitiveness on a rolling basis. Because this league is too hard, and we feel that it's too hard when you're not up at a competitive level to have to compensate if you look at the clubs that have made very, very large financial, quote-unquote, from a fan or a media perspective, the people that say load up in this year and go for broke, that's like the guy sitting at the blackjack table who's down $5,000 and says, well, I've played for 4 hours, I'm down $5,000. I'm going to put $5,000 down now on one hand and try to go. For some people, they might view that as a good strategy. I think from our perspective as an organization, we believe that you try to be a little bit more thoughtful and never put yourself in the position where you're down the $5,000 to begin with. And there are some teams in the league who approach it differently, and sometimes they have success, but it's not what works right for us.
Jonathan, thanks a lot. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you week one.
All right. Take care, guys. See you in Miami.
Thanks, Jonathan.